Welcome to a new episode of Liftoff, a Jets football podcast, with your hosts, Chris, and from PlayLikeAJet.com, Mr. Sharman Phillip. And remember, you can follow us on Twitter /X at Liftoff Jets. And you can follow Sharman at GrownFolk1980. You can follow myself at CP7NY. You could also find our podcast wherever you find your podcast, at Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, and iHeartRadio. And you could also find us at sportswireradio.org. And you can follow the station manager there, Thomas Bryce, at Thomas Bryce 2017, for all the other scheduling of all the other great shows that are on there. So, Sharman, free agency, wide open.
Hey, Chris. Remember that movie with, what's his name? What's the name of Tom that's in these... these movies, these action movies nowadays. What's his name? Short dude.
Oh.
For some reason, I can't really think of his name.
I thought you were getting that Groundhog Day for us.
No, I was going to say Tom.
Tom Cruise?
Yes, thank you.
Mission Impossible?
Remember? No.
Oh.
Remember he was in the sports movie when he was younger back in the day with...
Yeah. Yep.
Right. Show me the money.
Yeah.
Yes, that's it. You know, I was trying to make a reference. Hey, my memory, you know, I'm getting old. My memory is not the same. Forgive me. But I think it's a good reference. Show me the money. That's what this is all about. Show me the money. Basically, you know, because this is what's being portrayed throughout this week is it's a lot of jaw-dropping numbers because teams are flush with cash after the expansion of the cap. So people are just throwing money all over the place. Guys are signing to teams with, and you're kind of on the surface. Most of the time on the surface, you could kind of know if a team has a chance at something, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, teams always surprise you. You know, we, you know, the whole before the season starts, you know, we're way too far away, so we really don't know turn into, but on the surface you could kind of know if a team's gonna start something, you know. And as an NFL fan, you look at a signing and you go, but why, you know, why would you go there? And then you look at the amount of money and you go, oh. makes a lot of sense.
that would make sense.
hey, listen, I ain't mad. If that's what you want to do, my brother, kudos to you, man. You know,
hey, in the NFL,
do what you got to do.
What does the NFL stand for, right? We learned not for long, and next
yeah, so
sadly,
yes, sir.
How long?
So. Make that money, but yeah. So most teams in the NFL were in pretty active, and of course, our Jets took way too long for most Jets fans. So I spent a few days watching Jets fans cry into their hats about the fact that Jets weren't doing enough, weren't doing anything. Look at all this money. You know, and hey,
but you know, if
that's how you're going to spend your day, if this is how you want to spend your day, it's fine. It's just not what I would have done, you know. As a fan, I can't tell you how to be a fan.
But this
go
is
off.
How Douglas has done things every year.
Exactly, Chris. So this is what we should, you know, most of us as fans, we should have known this was coming.
Right.
That was the most surprising thing about it, was that most Jets fans on Twitter were, or X, whatever the hell you want to call it, were pretty surprised by the move, by the fact that he wasn't jumping into the, you know, into the fray as making a big splash, which is kind of crazy to me, because again, his MO is to sit back and jump into it when, you know, when he could shop at, you know, some kind of bargain store, you know. That's his thing, you know, and true to his MO, basically what he did, and the first signing that he got was John Simpson, who played pretty well last year for the Ravens, as a guard.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Despite what his PFF ranking or whatever people we're harping on. And, you know, I always go to the experts, right? Guys like Coach Koo, Connor Rogers, those guys, they always give you the better, realistic review of a player. I don't go by just one rating or one, you know, and that goes for any player. I mean, you can't go by one rating, one stat. It's only part of, you know, it's only one part of describing a player. So that's why I don't get too caught up in, oh, his rating is really low, so he can't be that good. But again, you know, if you get a guy like Coach Koo, who's been on here a few times already, good friend of ours, you know, when he tells you, hey, you got to watch the film and you see what kind of a player this guy is, then you could say, oh, okay, he's really not that bad. He's actually pretty good. He's supposedly very good against the run, right?
Yes. So yeah, basically, that's what he is. He's a mauler as a run blocker. You know, playing something that looks more like a gap scheme, power scheme type of guy. That's kind of what he is.
Yeah.
And which kind of, you know, kind of raised my eyebrow a little bit about maybe the Jets shift into being more of a gap power instead of running all that zone that they'd been doing, especially last year. But Simpson is not a bad player. Simpson, that I always say for offensive lines, this is my take on offensive line play. Consistency is what makes normally tricks the eyes of most player people when they watch offensive line play. To me, the number one thing that people get misrepresented a lot in offensive line play is when somebody gets walked back or you give ground as an offensive lineman. Oh, you got beat. Oh, look, you got pushed back. Mm-hmm. Guys, this is a technique. It's called to give ground. You, by chopping your feet and placing, basically it's almost like dropping your anchor. You think about what that would mean if you would describe when they do it. It's basically describing what it is. They place their feet deep into the ground, bending their waist and their knees and digging into the ground to get purchase, to get more of a foundation. So it would take a few steps. So what they will do is they will absorb the power from the player or the defensive tackle or whoever is bull rushing them or whatever is going on. It will take a few steps back. Normally what will happen is 2, 3, 4 steps, and then that fourth step would be the anchor. And then that they would use to fight back after the fact. And normally it looks like they lost, you know, and it's not. It's just part of the game. That's part of the technique. Sometimes trying to actually execute the technique, you fail. And that is okay, because you're in the NFL and it just happens that you play people like Chris Jones. I don't know what else I'm going to say. I don't have to describe to you what Chris Jones is. If you're a football player, you know what he is. You're going to lose. You could be the best offensive lineman out there, and you're going to lose to Chris Jones, and you're going to lose to Quinnen Williams, and you're going to lose to Dexter Lawrence. I don't know what to tell you. It's just what it is. John Simpson is not a bad offensive lineman per se. He has tendencies that are bad, and it makes it inconsistent. It makes his play inconsistent. But overall, he's okay. He's okay. He's good. He's not bad. For people to be bashing the guy off of a PFF rating is ridiculous for me.
Yeah. And all you have to do is just look at Baltimore's running, right? Their running offense was pretty good last year, right? I mean, Lamar Jackson is Lamar Jackson, but Gus Edwards, right? Yeah, Edwards, Justin Hill, you know, obviously J.K. Dobbins got hurt, so we can't really count him, but they had a pretty good running attack last year, obviously. They were the best team going into the playoffs. You know, we were all riding high on them, and we see what happened, but, yeah. And you know, and you go by other people on what they write about this guy, it sounds like he's, like you said, yeah, he's got some flaws, but he was pretty good last year. You know, is he an all-pro? Yeah, probably not, but pretty good is good. Yeah.
You
good
don't need you to build an offensive line, you don't need 10 all-pros.
No.
That's not how it works. Okay, there's absolutely no way. Yeah, you normally lines are built by probably three guys. That's all. You either have a monster of a left tackle, a very good center, and one of the guards, either a left guard or a right guard, that's a standout guy. The other two guys are normally guys that play well enough to fit into the scheme. And that's it. Most lines are like that. And the other two guys that fit well in the scheme, sometimes their names are not, they don't, like you, they're, what Kevin Hart says, they're snap famous. You're like, that guy, what is his name again? You know what I mean? That's how it is.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, people think this is Madden, and it's not, man. You know, you can't get five Pro Bowlers to play on the line. That's not how it works.
And especially if you're going by the Joe Douglas strategy at free agency, where we're waiting for the second and third level guys come out. So we got him, and the Jets also traded for Morgan Moses from Baltimore. Trade swap in the fourth round. I think we dropped about 22 spots, which is not that big, and we gave him a sixth rounder as well. So what do you think of that?
Not a bad look. We got to revisit at some point the separation of the Jets and Moses. What is that, a couple years ago now?
Yeah, was it because we drafted Becton, or was that?
I think it was. Off the top of my head, I can't remember. But at some point we got it. But I don't. From my recollection, I never thought it was because he was a bad player. But I think it had something to do with that. It might have had something to do with that.
We only had him for 1 year, 2021. That was
it wasn't for that long, you know. And again, is Morgan Moses gonna like outshine some, you know, big time offensive lineman in the NFL? No, you know, he's an adequate player.
Right.
There's things about his job that he does very well, and there's things about his job he just doesn't do well, and he sometimes loses sloppily. He's an older player. You know, I don't know. I'm not mad at it. That's where my stance is. These signings are not something I would freak about, nor am I over the world, you know, over the world about it. Like,
right.
It's fine.
It's solid.
And what would make these signings even better is what they do after. Because right. Marrying these two guys with young left tackle, with that might be a monster, and, you know, a couple of them would be to me the end, would be the end all be all. That would make me happy. You know what I mean? Because you have to marry these types of players with younger players that have tons of potential, because that's how you grow the talent on that line. You know, so I'm happy. I was happy with it. I don't think you could find a Jet fan that was really that mad about it. I think they were a lot more unhappy that no offensive targets were signed, as in wide receivers. So
not yet.
Not yet. We're not over yet. But going forward, they signed Tyrod Taylor as a backup, which is something the Jets owner actually spoke about out loud. yes. Taylor, in my opinion, is basically the if you would have to describe what a backup in the NFL is, that's him. You know, he gets injured sometimes, misses a few games sometimes, but he also plays well sometimes in games when you ask him to start. And he's not bad to the point where it's embarrassing you know, where, you know, you're like, no, we got to get this guy out of the field.
You just don't want him to play a lot of games because he will.
Thank you. Because he will get injured. And yes. Yeah. Good for a spurt. Good for a few games. That's it. Yeah. Which in my opinion is the description of what a backup or NFL quarterback looks like.
Yeah. If we need him for any long stretches, we're in trouble.
Oh, yes,
you know,
sir.
Like last year, we're in trouble, you know? So let's hope that we don't need him at all, but let's hope it's not more than a couple of games and we're not really thinking about him. So now when we look at the offensive line, we got Simpson, left guard. We got Moses, right tackle. And we still have our center, Tippmann. Let's put him at center because they said they could move him to guard, but let's keep him at center. And now AVT is probably, let's hope they keep him. Let's, for this argument, let's keep him at right tackle, right? I mean, right guard, excuse me. So we got everything but right tackle, starting wise.
Well, are you saying that Moses would play left tackle? That's what you're saying?
No, I'm sorry. Moses is playing right tackle.
Right. So you need left tackle.
Yeah, and that's big, obviously. So
right. So that's where you go on number 10.
Okay. Or do you sign one of the veterans that are left? Do you go after Tyron Smith?
No. I was never of the opinion that Tyron Smith belongs here or should be here at all. There are several reasons why. Namely, the number one reason why is that I highly doubt that Tyron Smith is going to come over here. That's number one. Number two, which should be over number one, but for this conversation, I'll put it at number two or 1A, in my opinion. Way too injury prone for me to even ask you to do anything. I don't want you to sneeze. I'm sorry. Chris, how long has it been that this man has started a full season in the NFL?
Oh.
And you're gonna pay this guy in a market right now that's probably gonna, you'll have to probably fetch a little bit more money than you're supposed to pay him. And you, what? What are you gonna get out of him? I'm sorry, man. This is way too much of a risk in the situation that the Jets are. I don't think they're in a position to take that kind of risk.
Right. Definitely. At least for a starter. You know, like if you already had a starter, or if you had backup, I'm right. Or the other guy, obviously the guy from Green Bay, Bakhtiari.
Bakhtiari, yes.
Right? He's the other option. Well, what do you think of him? Same thing?
Only if he's coming as a backup. If we're gonna get this is the situation in my opinion, right? So if you get a guy like, let's say, Mims, who's the massive offensive tackle from what school? I can't remember off the top of my head. But everybody knows who I'm talking about with the Dreads, right?
Oh, in the draft this year, Mims?
Yes, yes. Let's say that. Thank you. Let's say you're getting this guy, right? Who I think is a project as an offensive lineman. And you might have to sit him for a while because I don't think he's going to be a starter off top, right? You bring in the veteran to start for the first 6, 7, 8 games, right? And then you insert the kid when the kid comes along long enough and he's better, right? You have a Bakhtiari for a situation like that. But if you're going to get, let's say for the sake of this conversation, we say one of the monsters, OTs that we've been watching for the last couple of weeks, drop to number 10. We don't need the Bakhtiari. Our Bakhtiari is not going to come in anyway because he wouldn't want to sit behind that kid. He's not going to start. He's not going to play at all.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So I don't know, man. These moves are moves of desperation, you know. And as much as you want, you could paint that picture for the Jets because there is a ton of desperation because of the situation that happened last year with Aaron Rodgers, basically forcing this regime into a year where they have to put up or shut up. But you can't, no matter what the situation is, you can't play it like that. You know, you just basically putting yourself in a situation where it just reeks of desperation and most likely will fail immediately, in my opinion. So I don't see the need for that at all. If that's their plan anyway. I'm just speaking from
right
from if that's their plan, if they're gonna be drafting a left tackle at number 10, yeah, no. But if they feel like they're not gonna get their hands on one of those guys, and then they might have to, you know, go somewhere else or draft something else other than maybe wide receiver. I know that'll be controversial. I will explain it when Andrew comes on. Whenever he does, I will explain where I'm coming from. But you know, if you're taking offensive line, no Bakhtiari, no Taylor.
Right. Yeah, like you said, I would bring them in, but at a lower rate, not as your starter, as a hopeful starter, but you can't. I don't think you could depend on them to be a starter for 17 games plus.
Oh no, oh yeah. No,
you just can't. No. So they got Taylor. So let's go on the defensive side. They re-signed Chuck Clark. Well, what do you think of that?
Oh, you know, I was a big fan of the signing in the first place. He brings a lot to the table that I thought that Whitehead didn't. Most prominently, the fact that he was a sure tackler than Whitehead was, and he's better at taking angles to the ball carrier. So that in itself for me made him a better option at safety. So it was incredibly sad to watch him get here and get injured immediately. That was crazy. So I'm happy that he could get back here. But are they gonna let the kid walk away? What's his name? The backup safety that we drafted a few years ago.
Oh, Davis?
Right, Davis. Are they gonna let him walk away? Or do they have faith in him that he could be a starter? Because he's been around for a minute now. You know what I mean?
And he did play well.
And he's shown, he's shown flashes now. He's shown some really nice flashes. So are you going to give him the shot? Do you trust him enough to give him the shot? I mean, this is what coaching is about. This is what teaching is about. This is what evaluations are for. If you've coached up this kid for the last couple of years and you properly evaluated him over this time period, you should know the kind of player you have. And if you're not going to give him a shot and you're going to ask him to be a backup, which it seems like, according to the whispers that I've been reading from a lot of the Jets coverage, is that he wants to be a starter and he's not willing to come back if they're not going to give him a shot at being a starter. So we'll see how that turns out, because to me, I think that would be a great rotation, because I think he could run. His issue, in my opinion, has always been with angles and tackling, which to me, the way he played last year showed me that he grew up a ton at these things. So I wouldn't be against it, but it would have to be the coaches making that evaluation and believing that what they've seen in the last couple of years is exactly what they need from him. But if they don't believe in him and they let him walk, I wouldn't be mad either, because that would mean they don't see it in him.
Now, we signed Clark, but then we lost Whitehead, which I know you're not upset about.
I'm not. I'm not.
No.
As a fan, it's hard sometimes, because, you know, I'm not trying to take shots at anybody personally. You know, the guy's trying to eat, trying to feed his family. I'm not going to do that. Right. But when you start having conversations with fans and telling them you don't know football and all this and all this and all that, I don't know. I don't have to know football to the level that you know it, because that's not what I do as a job. All I could tell you is I know enough football to know that you're basically bringing that defense. In my opinion, the level of that defense sinks at least one level, or one level and a half, because of your play. And when you watch the amount of snaps you played at specific positions, when you see the coaches play you in the slot a little bit more and stuff like that, taking away the what you did really well, or what we thought you did really well, which is play from deep, right? If that was what you did well, then they would have played you more at doing that, but they didn't. Meaning that they evaluated you properly and watched you fail constantly at trying to come from deep and tackle, missing tackles over and over and over again, and allowing for big plays when, in reality, this the way this defense is, there's no place for this. There's no place for it. Everybody else is playing at an incredibly high level, and you, the missing link. I'm sorry, my brother, but that's how it is. That's my opinion of it. And if we find a safety that could play on that level, that could come from deep and tackle and cover space really quickly, man, you think this defense have been good for the last couple of years? Sheesh. You know, so yeah, I'm not upset about the fact that he's leaving. I'm just concerned that they get the right person to fill in his shoes, because I think you could get somebody that could do what he did better, and you don't need a ton of money to do it either.
Right. What do you think of Isaiah Oliver, the corner that they signed?
I think of course he's a scheme fit, because that's basically, you know, he's very familiar with our coach and the scheme that we play on defense. So that makes a lot of sense. Good tackler, incredibly aggressive corner, you know, so he kind of fits what they do. So I understand that. So I don't think it's that big of a signing. I think it's more of an insurance signing, in my opinion.
Because I think Guidry is still a free agent, right? They're like,
Yeah. They're losing a couple guys there. So they're kind of trying to, you know, fill in. And I think he kind of fits the mold of what they're looking for. So I'm not, you know, it's okay. It's a good move, in my opinion.
And they picked up two defensive tackles, Javon Kinlaw and Leki Fotu.
Yes.
Well, Kinlaw is a former first round pick. You know, I don't want him a bust, but definitely a disappointment.
Yeah.
What about Fotu? I don't know much about him.
Big body guy, run stuffer type guy. I think he's a little bit more athletic than people give him credit for.
Basically replacing Woods, right?
Yeah, but I think Woods is a better player. That's where I'm, you know, I'm off. Maybe I need to watch more film, but
he's much younger
from my perspective. Yeah, that's the thing. You know, so yeah, because Woods is more of a seasoned pro, a seasoned vet, so he's understanding of scheme and understanding of how to attack different offensive concepts is definitely on a higher level. So that's one thing. That's an incredible gap. So Fotu hasn't gotten to that level yet, but his potential is incredible. So. Is that one of those take a little bet on this kid, see what he does, especially if he has to play next to Quinnen? You know, maybe he shines, maybe it gives him the motivation to take his game up a couple levels.
Well, you know what, whenever they sign or trade for or draft a defensive player, I feel much more confident on the defense than I do the offensive side. Was it last year or the year before they signed Solomon, right, from San Fran? And he was another first-round pick that didn't pan out that well. And everybody was complaining when we got him, like, oh, he's not that good, he's a bust. He actually played pretty good for us. So that's how I look at it with Kinlaw and Fotu. I kind of look like they're going to be good fits for us.
You know why? You know why you feel that way? It's because the coaching on the on that side of the of the on the of the ball is very clear to for everybody to see that it's miles ahead of what's happening on offense. You know, the growth and the growth of each player on defense is astounding to see. You know, somebody said something to me on Twitter about what could Salah do? Is there something he does right? And I'm like, you don't watch football, mm-hmm. or you've somehow, you know, erased that part of your memory. You know, he has not panned out the way we thought he would as a head coach, because we haven't won enough games and we've had way too much issues on the field when it comes to coaching and in the locker room. That's fine. But you cannot tell me you forgot that this guy is a hell of a freaking defensive coordinator now. And a teacher, to get to be exact, because that's why you see the growth in all these players. Because they're being taught well. That's what's missing on offense. You're missing the key parts of the offense that teaches players to fend well in the scheme. That's because it's so simple, right? Yet so difficult, because me and you will never get to that level. We'll never play like that. But to explain it, it's very simple. If you take a top-notch teacher and you pair him with a player with incredible potential, guess what? It's almost a given that the kid's going to do something. Unless he does not want to. The only way the situation doesn't pan out is if the kid does not want to. But if that kid is hungry and he wants to, and you pair him with a coach that knows how to teach the scheme and how to get the kid to win, he will flourish. And that's what you've seen with the Jets. There's a number of examples of players that have grown under Robert Saleh that would tell you that he's very good at what he does on defense. Unfortunately, he's really kind of struggled as an overall head coach. So I agree with you.
And we also re-signed Morstead, the punter, and we also re-signed Greg Zuerlein.
Greg the leg.
So
yeah,
and we also re-signed Yeboah, the tight end.
Yes.
So
I mean. Yeah, I mean, we're as Jets fans, we're all happy that Zuerlein's here and Morstead's back. We're definitely happy about that. Keeping this, because special teams, man, you know, again, every year we're reminded how important special teams is. So yeah.
So we're still looking for. I mentioned it already that the left tackle, obviously, if we're keeping AVT, which let's hope so, because that's his best spot at right guard. So we're probably gonna still be on the lookout for a left tackle. Probably, like you said, if they can avoid those other guys that we mentioned already, probably gonna go into the draft looking for a left tackle. And number 10, we should be able to find a left tackle there.
Yes.
But looking at the other positions that we need, like let's say a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen today Mike Williams became available, big wide receiver, deep threat, something we could use, but we were talking about it earlier. He's coming back from Achilles surgery himself. So that's a big, I don't know, right? That's a big question mark, unfortunately.
Yeah. Again, in a vacuum, these moves would be a little bit more clearer, but when you don't have Aaron Rodgers for that long. Like, he's talking about playing for 2, 3, 4 years. He, in that sentence, when he said he wants to play 2, 3, 4 years, the last phrase was, "You have to be incredibly lucky at my age to play 3 or 4 more years." Or he said, I think he used the word fortunate. So if that's what it would be, then so think about it from his perspective and take the word fortunate and kind of crystallize. I think that should crystallize the whole situation for you. You ain't got 4 years. You got two at the max. So you have to do what you got to do now. So taking these chances, in my opinion, with players that have massive question marks, I don't think that's where the Jets should be at all. And also another reason why they shouldn't be there at all is this draft. That wide receiving, I don't think I remember seeing that much talent at a wide receiver. I can't remember ever seeing that. And not that I've followed the draft closely for a very long time. It's only been for the last, 7 years? 8 years? Mm-hmm. Just about. You know, since Chris and I started doing podcasts together, where I actually tried to dedicate some time into, you know, watching players and, you know, getting information from people that I knows what they're talking about. And also learning the game as much as I could. I've never seen anything like this, Chris.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, the conversation after Harrison Jr. is like, throw them up. I mean, the two guys in the conversation after that is Neighbors and Odunze. And to me, which, you know, because I think that Odunze has people that think that he's just not that far away from Harrison. And there's people that go, Neighbors is not that far away from Harrison either. And they would say, well, Odunze is a better athlete. And then you'd go, well, Neighbors is a better wide receiver. And the argument is crazy, but to me, these two players are so good that then you're like, why is Harrison that far ahead from them? And in my opinion, which I will let one little thing slip, I don't think he's that far ahead of them. Really don't. That's the scary thing about the fact those two guys. And then the guys behind them are not that far from them either. There's parts of their games that are missing things that, you know, that you might have to kind of wait to see if it happens. You know what I mean? And you know, we'll clarify a little bit, you know, going down the road. I'll definitely clarify that a little bit.
Yeah, but we'll be getting into the draft more.
Yeah.
Coming weeks.
But I just wanted to really point out the fact that the Jets need a wide receiver, and the reason why I'm going deep into the conversation is basically to show you that they don't need to take a risk, because if they do their due diligence and scout and find, they could find someone to do what they need.
They don't need another one receiver.
Right. No, they don't. We know. Thank you very much. So right. That's the point I'm trying to make, Chris. They don't need that guy. You know what you need? You need a guy that complements that guy.
Right.
And exactly. So to me, in my opinion, you don't. If you watch the 40, because Chris made a point before we started recording. He was like, you know what? I feel like we need a wide receiver that take the top off of defense. If you watch the 40, I don't know how many wide receivers broke 4.44. It was a ton of them.
Right.
Almost everybody was running 4.3.
Yeah, we got the speed on these young kids, for sure. Sheesh. And you know what? There's good options still in free agency that they're going to be able to sign at, you know, at the lower rate where Joe Douglas likes to hang around. So
give us a couple, Chris. Give us a couple examples.
Yeah. What about KJ Osborne?
Serviceable guy.
Right. And that's what we need. You know,
yeah.
A guy that can catch the ball. Basically, right?
It sounds stupid, but it's true. You're right.
That's what we need. I mean, I know, there's big names. Odell Beckham. You know, if he's healthy, yeah, that's a really good option. But again, we're getting back to the injury issue and. But he was healthy for most of the year last year, so I think he was pretty good.
Yeah.
What about Donovan Peoples-Jones?
Another big body guy that – you see, this is the thing, right? what is your plan for him?
Right.
And where does he fit into what you're about to do, or what you're going to do? And that's the question. You see, you know, when we didn't know football, or we weren't so deep into it, Chris, we used to make that mistake where we'd go, yeah, just take that guy.
Right.
He could run. Take that guy. He could catch. You don't just need guys that could run and catch. Scheme-wise, you know what Wilson is, right? Wilson's game is separation, underneath. You know what I mean? That's his game. I'm not saying that he can't go deep, but his game is that quickness, that space, right?
Yeah.
So most for the most part, you need somebody that will help him find space. So you need somebody that could play opposite to what he does. Instead of separate underneath, you need somebody that plays a long game that you have to accommodate for deeper down the field. And when you pair that together in any concept where you think you could think about, the first thing you could think about is running something like Caesars or China or something like that. And you're like, well, you know, you can't, you if you double Wilson underneath, this guy is going to give me problems downfield. You know, you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can't really key on any one of those guys. So the there has to be kind of synergy between their games. And that is why it's necessary to find the right guy, not just a guy, in my opinion. So,
right. Yeah. Well, what about Curtis Samuel? Or
his you see, that's guy. An interesting, that's an interest, you know, that's very interesting in my opinion. He's a very interesting player.
Yeah.
But again, I think his game kind of tracks towards what Wilson does too much. Because I think he is the same kind of separator where you'd run him like on an over route and he could just find space because, you know, after he put like, he started to run, he's like a half a second into his run and he's already like 5 yards away from his man. You understand what I mean? That's his game. That's what he is. And yeah, you could pair those two guys together, but again, does that fit in overall what they love to do? Because Samuel would be a liability in the run game. Wilson is already not that good of a blocker. Is that a good thing to have two guys on the outside of a team that would love to run the ball that can't block? I don't think so. I think Peoples Jones would fit better, because he's more of a physical type of guy. And I think he could go up and get balls, 50-50 balls. So if you want to have him run down the field and threaten the deep, okay. Not a bad look.
Mm-hmm. And the other, I think, from the offense, obviously left tackle, we said, and another wide receiver option. What about, I think a backup running back as well would be nice, a nice veteran outside of, you know, because we do have still Izzy here, but we still don't know what Izzy could be. Who else, like, I don't know. I've seen A.J. Dillon's name pop up. I really like him a lot. I don't know if we'll get him, but well, what do you think of some of the guys that are out there for running back?
Yeah, give me a couple, Chris, because Dillon is not bad because he's kind of that thunder and lightning type. I'm not mad at that. I definitely would like that.
You got Zeke.
How about Madison? I don't know.
Madison from Minnesota.
Yeah, another player I think that fits the same situation. Grand, more of a physical type back, runs downhill. And if it's true that they're going power, yeah, why not? So I
like Dobbins, but he's always hurt, so I wouldn't touch him.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I like Edwards-Helaire from KC.
Yeah, but he's more what would you call him? He's more of a what? Third down back? People kept saying he's a third down back, but I never saw him as a third down back because I don't think his his blocking was that good.
Right.
You know, somebody could correct me if I'm wrong, but I saw way too many times where he failed when it comes to blocking as a running back. So yeah. I don't know if I would call him that. I think he's a better receiver. I think if this guy was good at being a third down back, I don't think he would be a free agent. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I don't know. Kareem Hunt.
Interesting player, but I don't know if he doesn't have the same. He's not the same guy. He's not right. The same guy. The physical running. He reminds me of a couple guys that we know very well. Crowell and what's his name? The other dreadlock running back we had not too long ago. Physical running backs that are just, man, I'm going to run through you. But these guys, after taking punishment for years, you just see them slow down, you know? And that's basically, in my opinion, what's happening to Hunt is it's the physicality of his game is kind of taking a toll on him, and he's just not the same guy anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where do you think, if they add any more at defense, where do you think they would go? Safety?
Yeah, I mean, given that White is not going to return, like you said, that would be interesting.
And it's still
because there's a couple massive names out there, man.
Yeah,
teams have made it very, very clear this year that they were not willing to pay top dollar for safety. Look at those guys and those guys. Look at the guys that are sitting out there. Nobody's making a move to pay those guys. That's crazy, in my opinion, especially the kid from that the Broncos cut. What? Yeah, that's a Pro Bowl safety.
Micah Hyde, Jordan Fuller, Quandre Diggs.
Yeah, those are very good players.
Yeah.
But the NFL has made it very clear that they're not going to pay those kind of players anymore. Not the way that you're thinking. So what teams are trying to do, in my opinion, is probably squeeze them down to kind of a tertiary type of player, where then you get to pay them a little, you know, a good chunk less than normal, you know. So, yeah.
So all right.
So yeah, the Jets. I don't know if the Jets are gonna be in the running for getting guys. It'll be interesting. Yeah, it'll be. I'll be very shocked if they're into that. I will agree. I agree with you.
Yeah, I think they'll concentrate more on the offensive side. You know, like another wide receiver, maybe. You know, if they do, I don't know if any more big signings are coming. Maybe a trade. You know, it's hard because this is where, real quick, this is where Joe Douglas lives, right? In this kind of murky, you know, second tier, third tier guys. And listen, and I think it's a smart way to sign free agents because you don't want to go out there and sign, you know, the big free agents right away because you're going to overpay for somebody and chances are they're not going to play well or whatever. So I get it. I understand. This is really smart. This is what smart teams do. Okay, now the problem is if you do it this way, you better be able to build through the draft. And that's where he's kind of, you know, not hit big, right? Because he missed on the quarterback with Zach Wilson, yeah, and mm-hmm, he missed on a franchise left tackle. When you miss on those two things, top 10 picks, right? It's you know, when you miss a quarterback, you like set your franchise back 3 years, right? And that's basically what he did by missing on Zach Wilson, whether it's his miss or the coaching miss, whatever, whoever you want to blame, because I know everybody blames different people for Zach Wilson and not Zach Wilson, but we all could we could all point the fingers at somebody, but it was a miss. Let's call it a miss. And of course, Becton was a miss too. You know, whatever, he got injured, it was a miss. So, but when you miss on those picks, you have a top 10 pick. You can't miss those picks. You just can't.
The craziest thing about that, Chris, is that over the years, there's been a lot of misses, man. I think we're, as Jets fans, we have such tunnel vision that we're only looking at our team and we're like, well, you didn't do this. And I'm like, if you look around the league, there's a ton of guys that were picked in the top 10 that didn't amount to nothing. You know,
oh yeah,
and you know, so picking in the top 10 is not, we know, and I think we say it.
Well,
and,
for us, it's
you know,
not
a... we say it a lot, but it's not. It's for most NFL teams. I like how many Patriots players that you know that were picked in the top 15, the top 20 that are not playing well, or you don't even know where they at.
Well, they don't. Well, think about it for 20 years.
I know what you're gonna say.
They were picking at the end of the draft, so, right?
But still, but the craziest thing about it is, I could show you a ton of players that got picked from the 20th pick down to the 32nd pick, right? That became very good players. So right. why would you miss on those players, right? So it's not an exact science, and there's always going to be misses. I think what you said was right. I think what you said is right. I think the missing is not the problem. It's where you miss. That's the problem.
Right, when you miss top 10.
Because you got the edge rusher and you got the wide receiver and then you got the tight end. That's fine. But you never get the quarterback and you never get the left tackle. So nobody cares about the edge rusher and the tight end.
Yeah, no, you did good with Sauce, right?
Oh, the running back.
Jermaine
yeah.
Johnson and
yeah.
whatever. Yeah, no.
Because everybody knows that these players are awesome. Fine.
Right.
But they don't amount to a left tackle and a quarterback. It's just what it is. So as good as you could say he did, yeah, as good as you say he did, and you try to measure it, as much as you try to measure it and try to tilt it in his favor, you can't, because the part of the game that matters the most, he failed at, which is quarterback and tackle. So
yeah. So we'll see. Hopefully they could fill up a couple of holes before they get to the draft, so they have less holes to fill in the draft. But looking at the rest of the league, like, we can't get into every player that was signed the last 2 days because it was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I would say one team for me that stuck out, especially in the AFC side, was the Texans. I mean, you talk about going for it, whatever word you want to say. I mean, you could see they're in it right now. I mean, they traded for Joe Mixon, they re-signed Dalton Schultz, they signed DeNico Autry, they signed Daniel Hunter, the linebacker Azeez Al-Shaarir, they signed corner, they signed four corners, Mike Ford, Lonnie Johnson, Desmond King, well, he was a re-sign. And Jeff Okuda. Okuda was a first rounder that didn't.
Yeah, that hasn't panned out yet. Yeah.
I mean, Eric Murray, the safety they signed.
And they re-signed him. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, listen, if you have the kind of player that they have, you would, in my mind, I think it would be suicide for a front office with the kind of offensive, the kind of offensive talent that they have, to not do this. What are you doing? You're gonna be lying there, you know, as the team was good last year, bro.
You gotta go.
Right? You gotta do something,
right?
Please, you know, because the NFL changes year to year. I don't know what to tell you. You can't You can't be leaning on that, and you gotta feed that kid, man. Give him more.
Yep.
You gotta. And to me, that. It's understandable that they're spending. It's understandable that they're going out and finding players. And, you know, they knew that they were going to lose Singletary, so they went out and got Mixon, you know, and who is a very good back, in my opinion. And, you know, his name is not mentioned enough and how good he is. And, you know, Schultz had played very well with them and turned out to be an incredible, comfortable blanket for their quarterback. So, yeah, it had to happen, in my opinion. So they lost. I did they lost Greenard? I think they lost their edge player Greenard. He signed somewhere else. So getting Daniel Hunter, who just seemed to, you know, revive his career every other year, is crazy how well he plays. You know, he's been in the league for a minute now, and you know, he's always been a very promising player. And the fact that he's still doing it after the amount of years he's been in the league is incredible. especially at the level that he still plays. So, of course, Danico Autry, again, another really good player too on that line. So, yeah, I don't blame them.
No, definitely not. Another team that spent a lot, a couple other teams, let's give a in the same division too. The Jaguars went crazy.
Yes.
And the Titans spent a lot of money. Yes. Jaguars signed, well, they traded for Mac Jones, no big deal. They re-signed their running back Johnson. They signed Gabe Davis from Buffalo. Yes. They signed Devin Duvernay from Baltimore. A couple of linemen, Blake Hentz. Oh no, he's been there. Ezra Cleveland, yeah. Mitch yeah. Morse, the center from Buffalo.
They got him. Yep.
And they signed Ronald Darby.
Mm.
And Darnell Savage, the safety.
You know what the craziest thing is to me? I think this all is a reflection of what the Texans did last year.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they
the
knew.
Texans are running away. The Texans are scaring the crap out of these teams and forcing them to do all this because they're running away with the division. If you keep giving them space, they're gonna be like the Patriots were in the AFC East. This is what it's gonna be, you know. And you gotta. The crazy thing is, for the Jaguars, in my opinion, there is just a small amount of seasoning missing, you know, on that team. A lot of it has to do with the QB being greedy somehow. In my opinion, watching him play, his patience, I think he's missing that. I think there's parts of the game where he plays well and he waits enough and he's patient enough to let the defense give him what he wants and kind of wait until kind of the bow breaks, you know what I mean? And then attack when he needs to. But there's time, but he goes and he takes these risks where he's trying to fit balls into areas, trying to take these long shots downfield that, in my opinion, that's not necessary. And he kind of puts the team into a tailspin when he does that. And that, to me, is an issue because as a quarterback and a leader of a team, you have to understand that you cannot take these risks, you know. And if you're going to take them, you got to take them with the preparation that you have an out, you know. And because the team is leaning on you like that way, you cannot be so haphazard, in my opinion. And if he's a little bit more bolstered as a player, I think that would, you know, bode well for them going in the future. So signing Gabe Davis is great, Duvernay is great, but I think at the end of the day, getting Cleveland in there, getting Morse in there, in my opinion, is really good signings. So maybe, you know, gives him a little bit more confidence in the pocket, you know, and he could show, because, bro, come on, man, we know he's one of the most talented throwers in the NFL, right? That's a given. So that would. Hey, man, and bring your game up, because I can't wait to watch you and that kid from the Texans, you know, fight it out every year.
And he's got to step it up this year because his second year was really good, made the playoffs. He had that big comeback in the playoff game against the Chargers. And then this year, I think he definitely took a step back. So can he get back to what he was in that year two is what we want to see. Like, let's see what kind of a step he makes, because like you said, the Texans are here. They're not coming. They're here now. I mean, they proved it. So they got a little bit of catching up to do now. and the Titans actually spent a lot of money, too. They signed a backup quarterback, Mason Rudolph. They signed Tony Pollard, Calvin Ridley, the center, Cushenberry. They signed a linebacker, Kenneth Murray, and the corner, Uwuzi. So, but that goes back to, they must really believe in Will Levis. You know, that's what this is all telling me.
Yeah, I heard a couple people listen to a couple players pro former pro players talk about his there's something special about him. I think it's a given that we know he has a hell of an arm, but there's also something about him, I think, that galvanized the team a little bit, and they want to give him a shot. So they're basically kind of, kind of fitting the team around him and see what he could give them. The crazy thing is, I in no way in hell did I see Calvin Ridley pulling an almost $100 million contract. I didn't see that coming at all, man. At all. So, I don't know. I mean, Kenneth Murray is a very respected linebacker, very good in coverage, like him. Ouzier is one of those corners that you know he's good. You know, he's very good player, in my opinion. So, that some good signings. They've kind of inserted a little bit, a good amount of talent back into this team. Let's see how the team forms in the offseason and see what they could bring out of, how those coaches could bring out of them. Because guess what? We were against the firing of the coach that they had before because we still don't understand what the hell happened over there, why they let him go the way they did. So let's see what they have going forward because they need that. Because they'll be relegated to the last spot in that division if they don't step it up.
And the West, the Chiefs basically re-signed a couple of guys, didn't make many big moves. They signed Irv Smith, the tight end. Raiders made a couple of big moves, but not a lot of moves, right? They signed Christian Wilkins to that big contract, 4 years, 110. And we actually spoke about Wilkins a little bit. And they also signed Gardner Minshew to battle for the quarterback position with O'Donnell. But he's probably going to be the starter, I would think, Minshew.
One of those players, right? He played really well for the Colts last year.
Remember now, that one drop, if you remember, in that last game between the Colts and the Texans.
Yeah.
I can't remember the running back, but he dropped the ball. If he catches the ball, we're talking about the Colts in the playoffs and the Texans in the playoffs, right?
You're right.
It's amazing how one little drop pass. But what do you think of Wilkins on that defensive line with Max Crosby now?
I mean, this is what you do in the NFL, right? It's all about the quarterback. It's either you get a quarterback to shred defenses or you get players that can shred quarterbacks. And we know what Max Crosby is. And you basically pair him with a player where teams can't go after him and double him. And they're forced to play inside a little bit, giving him more space to operate. And Wilkins could definitely command that kind of attention, in my opinion. I spoke a little negatively about him last week. About a couple games, but guys, this is like I was kind of nitpicking a little bit, because again, when you get to the level that you play, when you're these kind of guys, it's the small things that separate you from the other great players, in my opinion, and that was my point about him. I don't think the guy is some kind of bust.
No, definitely not. But we looked it up, right? He basically, he probably played a little bit too much down the stretch because they had so many injuries on that defensive line. So I think and trust me, I'm sure the Raiders seen that and they're like, all right, instead of him playing, 80% of the snaps, he'll probably
65, play 70.
And I think he'll be back to being a dominant force all season long, alongside Max Crosby on that line. That's going to be some. Now, they lost Josh Jacobs. So, offensively.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. We'll see. He went to Green Bay. The Chargers, they basically swapped out Eckler and signed Gus Edwards. That's not bad. They also signed tight end Will Disley. No big signings. Their big signing was the head coach, obviously.
Yes.
That's going to change a lot of things there. So that's with the West. And then just looking at the Central real quick, the Ravens, big signing was Derrick Henry, of course. Man, that's going to be somewhat. I mean, they did lose two starters on their offensive line, though. So they got to figure that out now.
Yeah, there is certain parts of that that offense that needs to be ironed out. There's certain things that they need to iron out. But we know that it's the AFC North, and we know that all they do is wreak havoc. So some way, somehow, they're going to be causing headaches for fans of the other teams and of our AFC. So not worried about the Ravens at all.
No, they are what they are.
Yep.
No matter who they are, that's another team. Well coached, you know they're going to be there. Cincy, basically, they traded their running back, and they signed Zach Moss, re-signed Higgins. They signed Gesicki, the tight end, re-signed their other tight end, Sample. No other big deal. Oh, they did sign Geno Stone from the Ravens. That's another guy the Ravens lost.
Yes, like I said, they lost guys, so it would be very interesting to see what they do going forward to fill in those spots.
Cleveland signed Winston to back up.
Interesting.
So that's going to be interesting. Is a good word for that.
They
also traded for Jerry Jeudy, the wide receiver,
which was another very interesting pickup, because I think with Cooper over there, him and Jerry Jeudy, to me, they're trying to mix and match, you know, and try to fit into what their concepts are and what their offensive concepts are. So, this is it for this kid, the quarterback over there. He needs to wake up. He needs to wake up, and he's given the offensive line, which we know is one of the best in the NFL. And he's now has weapons. So there you go.
And you know what?
Do something.
Deshaun Watson has to. You got to. And think about. I'm not giving him any, whatever. I'm not giving him any excuses here. But he's got a lot of pressure because he's got to show that he got the first right fully guaranteed long term contract in NFL history. So he's got to like show something here, because if he does, then at least the other NFL players, when they want a contract like that, they could say, hey, it worked out for Deshaun Watson, but so far, it hasn't.
It hasn't.
No, he's not doing so well. Pittsburgh, their big move. Well, a couple of big moves. They signed Russell Wilson. This is probably his last shot at being a starter.
Right.
They signed Patrick Queen from Baltimore. So Baltimore's
got that was a big move.
Yeah. And they also acquired from Carolina Dante Jackson, the corner.
Yeah. So the Russell Wilson thing, we know. I think when I heard it, it was on some broadcast, and whoever was, it said there's gonna be a competition, quarterback competition. I was like, yeah, that's definitely tongue in cheek, because there's nobody on that roster that's in competition with Russell Wilson for the starting role at the quarterback position. So
yeah,
that was funny, but also the Patrick Queen signing, to me it fits and it fills a hole in this team's defense that has been kind of there for a minute now. They drafted some guys that started out real good, and then they didn't fall by the wayside, but they kind of just plateaued. I think Queen, who has a ton of potential, to me, he still hasn't hit his ceiling, but he had a hell of a year last year playing right next to a kid that they got from the Bears. I'm getting old. Queen had a hell of a year last year. And he bringing that energy over to the Steelers, I think that would be pretty awesome. You know, Steelers ball. Yeah, I think he could do that.
Yeah, I would think so. He should fit that mold pretty well.
Yeah.
And the rest of our division, like I said, the Bills lost a lot of guys. They cut a lot of their whole DB room, basically. And they just basically re-signed a lot of guys. they didn't. The only guy they really added was Trubisky. Other than that, you know, and he's the backup to Allen. But the rest, you know, Deion Dawkins, he's basically public enemy number one now for the Jets.
Nobody cares.
I know.
Nobody cares. You know, he keep mentioning the Jets. I can't wait for I can't wait for first Jets Bills game next year. He did again, like I said last week, he did mention at first, hey man, at Quinn and Williams now, you know, but everybody else
like what the hell? Like if you're gonna talk trash about everything.
That's what I'm saying. But you know why he's doing this, because he know Quinnen is a real one. So
right.
he don't want that kind of smoke. All.
He's not the only real one on our defense. So he's gonna.
Yeah.
You can talk about our offense if you want, but don't talk about our defense.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Yeah. Exactly. Miami. They made some moves. Yeah. Obviously, they lost Christian Wilkins.
This is the team I'm worried about, man. Like some of the guys they lost, like Robert Hunt, that they lost, that was an incredible player inside on their offensive line. I don't know where they go to replace that type of player.
They signed Aaron Brewer, but he's a center, so I don't know. Other than that, I don't think they signed anybody else.
Yeah, I know, not that I remember anyway.
Yeah,
Janu Smith signing is all right. Yeah. Okay, you know. Exactly. But nothing that really stands out to me. I think the whole I like the fact that they got Barrett. But
what about Jordan that? Brooks, the linebacker? You know,
he's still a good player. He's not what he used to be, but still he's a good player.
And they did sign Jordan Poyer from Buffalo.
Yeah. Yeah. And Poyer is also one of those guys that is just not he's not the same player anymore. He's been in the league for a minute. He was one of the best safeties in the NFL for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, so he's not a bad player, but, you know, he's signing 1 year deals. You don't sign 1 year deals unless, you know, you're on the other side of your career. So, So Miami's a worry for me. I mean, I know what they do offensively. That's it.
Yeah.
But when you get a hard time replacing a player like Hunt, in my opinion. So
and they also lost their DC too, so that's going to be a big hit, because now you got
to
right.
Thanks for pointing that out. I forgot about that. Yeah, that's a big time loss.
Patriots. They signed Brissett for quarterback, and they also signed Antonio Gibson from Washington. They re-signed Kendrick Bourne, re-signed Jalen Reagor, re-signed Henry. They're going to sign Austin Hooper. Then they re-signed for the offensive line Tyrone Wheatley Jr., Onwenu. They also signed Okafor, the tackle. Bunch of re-signings. Josh Uche, Anthony Jennings.
Jennings had a hell of a year last year.
Yeah.
For them. They had a pretty good year for them, yeah.
They gave the tag to Kyle Duggar, the safety. Another linebacker they signed, Sione Taki.
Yeah, good player.
Yeah. So, and this is the new Patriots now. This ain't
the
Bill Belichick Patriots anymore. So
yeah. So now we don't know. We don't know what to expect. Yeah.
No, I really don't.
We don't. You know. So everything is up in the air there. You know, they're trying. They're on a journey to find themselves again.
that's a basically good way to say it, because they are.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's
they turn out to be.
Yeah, and that's a pretty big, when you think about it, that's a pretty big step going from Bill Belichick and that whole era, that dynasty, you know, him and obviously Brady, and now they're like, it's basically starting over. So it's gonna be interesting where they go. Hopefully nowhere. But because I don't want to see them do well again, at least not what they did before.
Yeah, I'm with you, my friend.
Pick. Yeah.
Yeah.
They do have the third pick, so most likely a quarterback, I would say, but we'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah. So that's the free agency the first couple of days. We did okay. Definitely not spectacular. but nothing great. We filled a couple of holes. We still got holes to fill, and hopefully we'll fill them in by the draft. But we'll see. And we're going to talk about the draft. We're going to start talking about the draft probably next week. We'll recap the free agency next week, whoever signs from now until next week, until we, and then we'll get into the draft. We'll start getting into positions that we need, especially tackle, wide receiver. And we'll dive into some of these guys and try to get some guys, get to know some of them and who we might possibly draft. So we'll see. And hopefully, like Charmin said, hopefully we'll get Andrew in here to help us out. That'd be awesome. And we'll see you then. So take care.
All right. Take it easy.